Morning, everyone. Today's Daf and Kedushin is Daf Yud. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf is only Zechon Ishmas Liba Gabriela Bas Shmuel. Today's Daf is dedicated to the topic of Mekadesh Bebiya. Mekadesh Bebiya is one of the three ways a man is Mekadesh a woman. Today's Daf is going to harken back to the days of Yevamos in the sixth parak, where the Gemara speaks in detail about the act of Bia itself, because it's a mechanism, it's a means in which you're being Kona. So some of the discussion in the Gemara today is going to be a little bit mature and for a mature audience, but again the Gemara speaks so clinically about it, as it is a means in terms of how a man is how a man marries a woman through the first stage of marriage through Erusin. Tomorrow, day after that, it's coming up. We're gonna get the attitude the Chachamim had towards the Kiddushin Bibiya. And I think I've said it already once, but just to repeat, the Chachamim were not excited about this idea being Mekadesh Bibiya. It's whatever. We'll speak about the attitude later on. The Rav's position was very clear. Rav Mangid, Amanda Mekadesh Bibiya. Rav gave Malkus to people who were Mekadesh Bibiya. So they didn't. To say the least, they didn't condone the act of being Mekadesh Bebiya. But that's not our topic of discussion today. Our topic of discussion today revolves around the source. How do we know that a man's Mekadesh a woman Bebiya? And the very specifics of exactly at what point in the Bia is it does it occur? So we start with the beginning of the Gemara today with Uva Bia. Okay, that's the heading of the myth from the Mishnah, that a man is Mekadesh a woman in one of three ways, Kesef, Shtar, Uva Bia. So we spent some time talking about Kesef. Yesterday we talked about Shtar, and today we speak about the act of Bia. So Manal and the Gemara of Gemara's first question is, where do we know this from? How do I know that the Torah... The Torah allows for such a means. So Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Krab, Ulas Baal, Melamed, Shinas, Elabal, Yidei Be'ila. So one pasuk of the Gemara is going to quote in the name of Rabbi Yochanan is Bulas Baal, when describing a married woman who is having a relation with another man. So the Torah describes her as being Bulas Baal. There's no good English way to say it. Although the Gemara over here understands it in terms of having relations. Meaning, how did he, the husband, become the Baal? Through the act of Bia or Be'ila. As we've mentioned already a number of times, but it bears noting, there's no word in the Torah for the actual act of relations and intimacy between a husband and wife. You see the word over here, Be'ula. Be'ula just simply means that he husbanded her. But there's no actual word in the Torah describing intimacy between a man and a woman, right? Even the word we use in our Mishnah is bia. Bia just simply means to go to. But there's no word that's used it. The Lashon Torah is a Lashon HaKodesh. It's a holy language. It speaks only B'Lashon Nekiyah. It doesn't have words. This is a Rambam's point. The Rambam made this point in terms of describing why the Torah is described as Lashon HaKodesh. Why it's such a holy language. So the Rambam says, because you're not going to find words in the Torah that describes bia, that describes a bodily excrement, bodily waste. These are words that the Torah just simply doesn't have a vocabulary for. The Torah makes allusions to these words, and we know what it's talking about, but there's no actual words themselves to describe that. So the Torah says Bulas Baal. So how did the husband become the husband? So it came about through Be'ila. That's one source of the Gemara. Are you disgusted by that which Rebbe taught us? Meaning, why are you giving us a drasha? We have a drasha already, and the drasha was given by Rebbe. And the drasha is Uva Allah. Now this drasha Rebbe, really, as Gemara is about to point out, it's so good. Meaning, because where is this pasuk of Uva Allah? By the act of Kedushin. Ki yikach ish isha Uva Allah. When a man takes a woman and has bia with her. So the drasha of Rebbe seems to be very good. So why are you running away from the drasha of Rebbe and giving, quote unquote, your own drasha? Although I'm sure Rav Yochanan doesn't have his own drasha. I'm sure he had it as a Masorah. Not only am I sure, but Rabbi Abba got it from as a Masorah from Rav Yochanan. So it's fair to say that Rav Yochanan also had it as a Kabbalah. But anyway, he's a Baal Memra. So that's why we call it the drasha of Rav Yochanan. But anyway, what are you doing running away from Rebbe's drasha? When it says, V'kiyikach ish isha uva Allah. So, Malamish and Nikdas Bibiya. And that teaches us that a man is Kona, a woman through Bia. Ima hasam ha.
Sounds more like two different actions.
Ah, very good, Phil. Excellent. So ima hasam ha v'aminah de mekash v'hadar bal kamash malan. So the Gemara says, because if I had that pasuk, I might have thought that really it's two steps. It's ki yikach ish isha. First, there's a likuchin. And then Uba Allah. So that's what I might have thought if all I had was Rebbe's drasha. It may have misled us. So the Gemara says Maskel Rav Abba Bar Mamma Imkain. So Rav Abba Bar Mamma says I never would have entertained that. We can't entertain that. That it's a two-step process, and Bia is only the second step. The Gemara says, well, let's consider the following. Maskel Rav Abba Bar Mamma Imkain. Nara hamu urasa dam rachmana biskila. A man has relations with a woman who is married, but she is nara, meaning she's still very young. She is right above the age of katnus. She's below the age of bagrus, so she's nara. She's in her middle years. It's not even a middle years. It's the 6 month period from her being a katana to her being a bogeres, and she's maurasa, which means that she's married, but only the first stage of marriage. Now, generally speaking, if a man has relations with a married woman, so that is adultery, and that's punishable by death, and the misa and the capital punishment that's imposed in such a scenario is chenek. That's strangulation. That's the punishment that is meted out by the Torah for someone who engages in quote unquote standard adultery. However, the Torah says that if a man has relations with a woman who is a nara hamurasa, it's a more heinous act. She's younger. She only went through the first stage of marriage. Okay. However, we can understand why it's more heinous. The Torah assumes it's a more heinous act. And because it's a more heinous act, the man who does so is going to, and if she's a willing participant as well, are going to be subject to the punishment of skila. Skila is higher on the list of punishments. And so because this act of adultery is amped up just a little bit, so therefore the punishment is going to be more significant. It's going to be death through skila. Okay. That's the background information that we need to know. Now, so the Gemara says, now if we were entertaining this pshat in the Torah, ki yikach ish isha, step one, that there has to be some sort of likuchin. Let's call it kesef kiddushin. Make it nice and simple. And then the step two, uba Allah. So in other words, in order for a man to be mikdash a woman, he has to go through two steps. Kesef kiddushin, followed then by bia. So the Gemara says, so now, how are we ever going to find this punishment of namarasa through skila? Meaning, the Gemara is going to basically argue it's untenable. You can't have a Torah meaning out a punishment when no one's going to ever qualify for the punishment. Can't be. The Gemara says, if a man was maktisher and then had bia with her, so fine, so she's no longer a nara hamarasa, who's a basula. She's no longer a virgin. And therefore, there's not going to be the punishment of skila. And if you only went through kiddushin and you didn't do bia, and again, we're entertaining this pshat that in order for a man to be mekadesh a woman, it has to be kesef and bia. It's a 1-2 combination. Well, the Gemara says that that's true if it's a 2-step combination and you only went through the first step, so then you're not married. So then it's not adultery. So basically, if you're really entertaining this idea that it's kesef, kiddushin, and bia, we're never going to get to the punishment of nara marasa. And that's simply untenable. So Amra Banakamida Baya Mishkachla Kagon. So the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you how we could find it. It'll be obviously very unusual and extraordinarily unconventional, but it's there. At least there's at least the possibility that it's there, and it would be the following. Kagon Shaba Allah Adam Shalokadarka. A man has relations with her, Shalokadarka. Okay, the Bishalokadarka, which is going to come up a number of times today, which the Gemara assumes throughout that it does define itself as bia, even though it doesn't rupture her basulin. So the Shabala Arushalo Kedarka, that when the husband went through the two steps of marrying her, so first he gave her the Kesef Kedushin, then he had bia with her. The bia that he had with her was bia Shalo Kedarka. That means that her basulim is still there. So now we can have a married woman, while meanwhile she's still a basula. Amalei Abaye Adkan Lo Pligi Rabbi Rabbanan Ela Ba'acher Ava Baal Divrei HaKolim Im Ba'ala Shalo Kedarka Asa Ba'ula. So the Gemara says, well, it's still not going to work out. meaning we're still not going to find a scenario in which she would be a Nara Marasa who'd be considered a Besula if we're entertaining this idea that marriage requires the two steps. Because Bishlo Kedarka does not rupture her Besulim. However, as we're going to see over the course of the next number of lines of Gemara, if the husband has relations with his wife in order to make him his wife, and the bia that they have is bia shelo kedarka, her status still changes to becoming a ba'ula, even though her besulim is still intact. It's true that there is a debate if somebody else has relations with her. There is a debate whether or not her status changes or does not change. But everyone's in agreement that if the husband has relations with her, and even if it's Bishlo Kedarka, she is no longer considered status-wise a Besula. Physiologically, she may be a Besula, but status-wise, she's not considered a Besula. Now, the Gemara says, Mahi. Now, the Gemara says, now, let's get the background information that we need in order to understand this point the Gemara just made. Netanya. Ba'ala yud anashim. Va'adayni Besula. So, Kulam Beskila. If let's say 10 men had relations with her, and every one of them had Bishlo Kedarka with her, which means that for the second, third, all the way to the 10th man, she was still a Besula. So therefore, they are going to be subject to the higher form punishment of Skila, because they had relations with a Nara Hamarasa, who was the Besula, because the Besulim was still intact. Rabbi Omer Ani, Harisha Beskila, Vekulam Bechenek. Now, Rabbi's of the opinion, no. The first one is going to have relations with a Besula, and then after that, the remaining of them are going to have relations with a woman who has the status of a Ba'ula. She's a married woman, but she's a Ba'ula. So therefore, their punishment is going to be the standard Chenek punishment, not Skila. That's the machlokus between Rebbe and the Chachamim. What the Gemara is advancing is that machlokus is only when it's somebody else who had relations with her. But if it's the husband himself who had relations with her, and even if the relations was Bishlo Kedarka, she's no longer considered Besula. Now, we haven't seen that yet in the Gemara. That's coming up in just a moment. But the Gemara is saying that that's in fact so. So, if that's in fact so one more time, we never would have entertained this pshat that marriage has to come through a two-step of Kedushin, Kesef Kedushin, followed then by Bia. Because if that were so, then we never would have a scenario of Nara Hamarasa. I'm Rav Nachman, by Yisuk Mishkach Lakigot, Shekisha Bashar, Hol Vigomra Motzi, Gomra Machnes. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, I'm going to argue, says Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that there is a scenario in which she'll be a Besula and she'll be fully married. Because although we are arguing right now that Kiddushin is a two-step process, it's Kesef followed then by Bia, but that's only if the first step is Kesef. Let's say the first step was Shtar. If the first step was Shtar, Shtar creates full Kiddushin between the man and the woman. And that would be a scenario in which she would still be a Besula. A Nara Hamarasa is a Besula. So, and why should that be? So his argument is, because look, what does Shtar do on the other end? On the dissolvement of a marriage. What Shtar does on the dissolvement of the marriage is it totally dissolves it. So what do you think now it's going to do on the front end of marriage? It's going to totally formulate it. It's going to totally concretize the marriage. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says that's how we're going to do it. So the Erusin is Shtar. And Shtar, even if we're entertaining this idea that Kesef has to be followed by Bia, and the only way that a man marries a woman is Kesef plus Bia, we're entertaining that pshat, even though, of course, it's not halachically so, but we're entertaining that pshat. But even if that were true, Shtar by itself creates a full Kiddushin. Okay. Where are we at right now? We understand why it is that Rav Yochanan did not opt into Rebbe's drasha. Rebbe had a drasha, ki kach ish isha uva Allah. That is the source in the Torah that a man is mekadosh a woman through bia. Rav Yochanan gave another drasha, bu'ulas baal. Why didn't Rav Yochanan like Rebbe's pshat? To say it succinctly, it's because if you follow Rebbe's pshat, you could walk away with the erroneous conclusion that in order for a man to be mekadosh a woman with bia, it has to be done in two stages. Stage one, kesef kedushin. Stage two, bia. And it's not until you do both of them that a man's mekadosh a woman. And that's, as Rav Yochanan, just simply not the case. Bia by itself is going to create the Kedushin. You don't need two steps. That's why Rav Yochanan prefers the other drasha of Be'ulas Ba'al, because that is a more clear indication that it's Bia and only Bia that creates the Kedushin. Okay. With that stated, the Gemara now is going to go through its classic discussion of what does each Amara do with the other's drasha. The Gemara starts off, Rav Yochanan hai ubala mai avile. So what does Rav Yochanan do with the pasuk hikach isha uva Allah? So haumi baile zuniknas bibia ve'in ama ivri niknas bibia. Comes to teach us that a man is kone a woman through a bia. A man is not kone as ama ivriya through a bia. Ama ivriya, when a father sells his daughter to somebody, as an ama ivriya, the father has a right to do so. How is that other person kone the ama ivriya? The answer is kesef. Kesef is a means of kinyan. I might have thought, says the Gemara, that bia should also be a means of kinyan, and we're going to make the argument in just a moment why I would have thought that, and that's why the Torah has to go out of its way to say, no, that's not how a man is kona and am ivriya. So the Gemara says, I might have thought that we're going to derive it through a kavachomer mi yavama. My yavama shein nikness bekesef. Now yavama, we know, cannot be kona bekesef, and miwan nikness bebia. And it's nikness through bia. Zushi nikness bekesef. When we have an am ivriya who can be acquired through money, ainu din shein nikness bebia. So for sure she should be acquired through bia. So the Gemara says, that's the kavachomer I might have constructed, which would have led us to the conclusion that you can acquire the Amma Ivriya through Bia. So the Gemara says that's what the Torah is going out of its way to dispel. Mali of Amma Shekain Zekuka Vamedes. So the Gemara says it's not a good Kavachomer because we're comparing an Amma Ivriya to Yavama. Yavama, she is nearly married already to the Yavam. The Zika that's created, the bond that's created between the two of them is already part of the marriage, and the Bia is just there to finish the job of the marriage. But the marriage that's already got off the ground. How can you compare Yavama to any other type of kinyanim, where a man to his Amma Yivriya, they have no relationship. This Bia is going to create the entire relationship. You can't compare it to Yavama. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, I still would tell you that it's a Havamina. It's a legitimate Havamina. Because, im acheres yikachlo, if somebody else takes her, that's what the Torah describes the Amma Ivriya, if the owner himself does not want to marry her. So he kisha akasal acheres. The Torah is making an equivalency between somebody else marrying her versus her original owner. Ma acheres mikne bibia, just like that other person could take her through bia, meaning, but that's taking her as a wife, af Amma Ivriya mikne bibia. So to the original owner, when he takes her, I might have thought that he can acquire her through bia. So kamash malan. And that's why I need the drasha of kikach ish isha uva Allah, that a man marries a woman through bia, but does not acquire nami ivriya through bia. Okay, v'rebi. Now, as far as Rebbe is concerned, ha'isvar min aleim kin lechzer rachmanu uva'al. My ba'alash ma'min etarte. Rebbe says, I totally agree with you, that the Torah is telling us that a man's kone his wife through bia and not the Amma Ivriya. And I still maintain that the source of a man being kone a woman through bia is coming from the same pasuk of uba'alah. What do I do? How do I get both points out of that pasuk? The Torah could have said the word ba'al. The Torah says the words ba'alah. We learn that both drashas. Ula Rav Adamar by Hivnas Vili Kikach Ishisha Uvala Kedushin Amisrum Labia Have a Kedushin Kedushin Shem Amisrum Labia Lo Have a Kedushin Michael Amemar. Now the Gemara says, now Rava says that it was explained to me by Bar Ahina. Bar Ahina was a contemporary of Rava's and explained to him the following, that in order for marriage to work between a husband and a man and a woman, it has to be a lekuchin that is hamisurim labia, that can result in bia. But that and only that serves as kedushin. But kedushin she'ein misurim labia, but if it's a kind of kedushin that cannot be concretized through bia, is by definition not going to be considered kedushin. That's what he learns that from the Torah of ki yikach ish isha uva Allah. Rashi over here explains. We're going to see this later in the Gemara as well. Let's say, for example, a man sends kedushin over to one of two sisters, but he does not know which sister it is. That's a problem. And not only is that a problem, the Kedushin itself is not going to be a valid Kedushin. Why? Because he can't have relations with either one of the sisters. He simply doesn't know which sister he was Mekedeshes to. Well, why can't he have be it with both, because one of them is muteris to him and one of them is asura to him. So, and it's a suffik, and he doesn't know which one he was mekadesh. That is a kedushin shelo nimsur labia, and therefore the kedushin is not going to be effective. And how do we know that? From the drasha. So now, according to Rava, now that we know that from the drasha, so Michael and Amar. So how? Now we have another point that we're teasing out of the drasha. So what are we going to do now? Imke nichtav kra. Oh, ba'Allah. My u ba'Allah shma mina kulu. So the Gemara over here really teases it out. The Torah could have said, oh, ba'Allah, alavav, and then another word. The Torah says, u ba'Allah. So that now allows for another drasha, meaning the drasha that we just learned together. That the Kedushin, in order for it to be effective, has to be able to lead to an act of relations between the man and the woman. Okay, so that is all what Rav Yochanan will do with the pasuk of Uba Allah. Now we go the other direction. What's Rebbe going to do with Rav Yochanan's drasha of Ba'ulas Baal? V'Rebbe, hi Ba'ulas Baal, my Avilei, hi mi Baile, Baal Ose Osa Ba'ula, Shalo Kedarka, Ve'in Acher Ose Osa Ba'ula, Shalo Kedarka. So this is exactly the point that we made earlier. That when the husband has relations with his wife, and even if it's Bishalo Kedarka, and even though it doesn't rupture a Besulim, she is considered Ba'ulas Baal. She's still considered the wife of a man, meaning her status changes from being a Besula to being a Ba'ula. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. If a man has relations with a woman, Bishlo Kedarka, it changes their status. Does Rebbe really subscribe to that? But let's go back and revisit the brisa that we saw earlier this morning. If 10 men have relations with her, and she's still a Basula, meaning each one of the 10 men that has relations with her had Bishlo Kedarka, Kulam Beskila, they're all subject to Skila. That's the opinion of the Tanakama. Because each one of the men who had relations with her did not rupture her Basulam, and so therefore she still maintains to be a Basula. And that's why each one of them could still be considered to have relations with a Nara Hamurasa, who is a Besula, therefore subject to the higher punishments of Skila. But Rebbe Omerani, have Rishon Beskila, Vekulam Bechenek. Rebbe's of the opinion that the first one is going to be subject to Skila, and the rest of them is going to be subject to Chenek. But you see that the first one is going to be subject to Skila. So the Gemara says, Am Rebbe Zera, Mo de Rebbe, Lenin Kenas, de Kula Mishame. So the So Rebbe's of the opinion that as far as Kenas is concerned, so they're all going to have to pay a Kenas. Meaning that it's true that when a man has relations with a woman, and even if it's not her husband, even if it's somebody else, her status does change from being a Besula to a Ba'ula, but in other areas of Halacha, she is considered a Besula. Meaning as long as men number 1, 2, 3, whatever, in other words, 1 through 10, as long as they all had relations with her, yes, in some areas of halacha, meaning in terms of the capital punishment that will be met out for having relations with a married woman, numbers 2 through 10 are going to get chenek and not skila. That part's true. But in terms of other areas of halacha, i.e. kenas, so each one of the men is going to be considered as if they had relations with a basula. The halacha is that when a man's ma'anis a woman and she is a basula, so the Torah gives a number of punishments for such a man. One of them being he has to pay a kenas. But the man only pays a kenas if he ruptured a basulim. Let me say it a little bit clearer. If he had relations with a woman who was a basula, even if he didn't rupture the basulim. So in that regard, Rebbe's of the opinion that each one of these men would be subject to have to pay the kenas. There's a separate discussion, which the Gemara here doesn't entertain, because it's not really the point of the Gemara, which one of the men is going to marry her. Meaning one of the consequences of being ma'anis a woman is that you have to marry her and you have to stay with her for the rest of your life. So here in this horrific scenario where 10 men are having relations with her and each one of them is having Bishlo Kedarka, so Rebbe says in terms of the kenas, each one of them has to pay kenas. Which one of them is going to marry her? That's the part the Gemara doesn't discuss right now. And again, it's not our focus in the Gemara right now, but just okay. If she was a married woman, yes. Okay, there are two separate discussions that are happening concurrently in the Gemara, and I perhaps am giving the suggestion that we're conflating them. In the case of Nara Marasa, she's a married woman, they're going to be put to death. if they got a warning, etc., etc., with due process. They're going to be put to death. On the Kanas issue, she's not a married woman. On the Kanas front, if we're talking about a Kanas, it means that she's not a married woman, and therefore the man who's Ma'anisar is going to have to pay the Kanas. But the Kanas is only there if she is a Pasula, not if she's a Ba'ula. And here, the we're describing a horrific scenario where 10 men are having are being Ma'anisar.
But there's no Misa.
So no, there's not going to be no. Misa is only for adultery. This is not adultery. It's, you know, it's heinous. It's terrible. It's not, but it's not adultery. It's not a, okay. So the okay, my stomach tala. So the Gemara says, okay, but why should that be? Why should we split the halacha? Meaning, in terms of the death penalty, so man number 2 through 10 are not going to be subject to skila. Why? Because they didn't have relations with a basula. She is a, from a status standpoint, she's a ba'ula. Then in the world of kanas, we're saying that each one of the men, if she's not married, has to pay her kanas. So the Gemara says, what just happened over here? How did you split those halachas? So the Gemara says, Ma'ishna mikitala, shani asim damakra, umeisa isha sheshachavi ma levado. So the it's a special gzeiros hakasuv when it comes to the death penalty. The death penalty is only going to be carried out to one person, meaning her status really doesn't change. If every man has relations with her, Bia Shalom Kedarka, so she's a basula and she remains a basula throughout. And that expresses itself best through the kanas. Every one of the men, if she's not married, is going to have to pay her the kanas. But in terms of the death penalty, a special gzeiros hakasuv that only one man is going to be receiving the death penalty through skila, not chenek. And which one is it going to be? It's going to be the first one. So virabanan, ha'levado ma'avdilei. Now, according to the chachamim, what do they do? What do they do with that pasuk levado? They clearly don't agree with that, because according to the chachamim, 1 through 10 are going to get the death penalty through skila. So what do you do with levado? Mi ba'ile lechidetanya umesu gam shneim as you shavim ke'echad divrei Rabbi Oshia. Rabbi Oshia has a very interesting position. It's not followed the halacha, and that is that a man who commits adultery is only going to be put to death when the woman who's participating in the act of adultery also is subject to the death penalty as well. The Torah says umesu gam shneim. Rashi says over here, according to Rabbi Oshia, what would that come to exclude? It would exclude, says Rashi, gadol haba al katana. Let's say an adult has an adulterous affair with a katana, right? Katana can be married. That can happen. We've seen that time and again throughout the Gemara. So if she's a married woman, she's not, even if she's quote unquote willing, she's not willing, right? In other words, the katana is never considered to be a willing participant in the act of adultery. According to Rav Yoshia, the man who has relations with her is not going to be subject to the death penalty because the girl involved is not going to be subject to the death penalty. That's Rav Yoshia's opinion. We don't subscribe to that position, but that's what he will do with the drasha of Levado. Levado is coming to teach us that it can't be one person, it has to be two people. That's what Rav Yonason does with the drasha. No, the man himself, as long as he's committing the act of adultery, even though the woman's not going to be subject to the capital punishment, because she's a katana, but the man involved is going to be subject to the capital punishment because he committed adultery with a married woman. V'Rav Yochanan, ha'isvar minale. Now, according to Rav Yochanan, where does he learn this svara from? Imkei nechtov kra be'ulas ish, my be'ulas baal shema minatarte. So Rav Yochanan says, I'm going to learn at two halachas, the halacha that we just went over, plus the halacha that a man's makash woman bebiya. Why? Because the Torah did not have to say be'ulas baal. The Torah could have just simply said be'ulas ish, and instead the Torah says be'ulas baal. Those are the two halachas that we're learning out from there. Okay. Adkan. That was very long. Some of it was complicated. Basically, to distill it, to summarize it, the question is, where do we know that a man, where in the Torah does it say that a man is Mekash a woman through Bia? So there are two paths to go down. Rav Yochanan learns it from the Pasuk of Bulas Baal. Rebbe learns it from the Pasuk of Kiikach Ish Isha Uva Allah. There are, and the Gemara spent a considerable amount of time going over what each Amara does with the other Amara's Pasuk and the other halachas that are learned out from these various psukim. Okay. We are continuing now. We're on Yoram and Aleph. We're at the two dots. Ibailahu. The Gemara asks the following question. No, I skipped a little bit. Ibailahu. Right, there we go. Tchilas biakona osov biakona. Okay. Like I mentioned earlier this morning, the Gemara now is going to be extraordinarily clinical. Because we know bia is a mechanism in terms of man is kone a woman, and at what point in the act of bia is a man going to be kone a woman? Is it going to be at the tchilas bia, or is it going to be at the sof bia? Okay, now, in terms of the Gemara's question, let's first go through the Gemara, and then we'll discuss. So, nafka mina kigon. So the Gemara says, now, what practical difference does it make? Now, this Gemara's question over here is funny. The answer is going to be somewhat unusual, somewhat indelicate. But in other words, when is she married? When is her status going to change from being a woman who is single to a woman who is married? At what point exactly in the bia process? Kigon. So the Gemara over here spells out in Afkamina, Shara ba upashi adavi kibla kiddusha me'achya, that after having relations with a man, but not full relations with a man, so he only had some partial penetration, and what the Gemara describes as being ha'ara, and then after that, she accepts kiddushin, kesef kiddushin from somebody else. So under those circumstances, so she was not married to the first man, right? Although they were intimate, but because it was only a partial penetration, so therefore the kedushin with the first man does not make her his wife, and therefore when she accepts kesef kedushin from somebody else, so the kesef kedushin from somebody else will make her married to that second person. So inami lekan gadol, so deka kani besula bibia. My. And the Gemara says, and we could also be asking the following question. Is a Kohen Gadol allowed to be Mekadish's wife through Bia? Okay, we know a Kohen Gadol has a very high standard in terms of who he can marry. A Kohen Gadol can only marry a Besula. A Kohen Gadol cannot marry a Be'ula. Okay, and it doesn't matter how it is or why it is that she lost her Besula. He can't marry her if she's a Be'ula. So now, it's unusual, but if now the kiddushin is affected at the beginning,
it's okay.
So then it would work out. Rashi writes, "In mutter lekadosh bebia, iyamar tchilas bia kona mutter." If the tchilas bia is going to be kona, so then the kohen can marry a woman through bia. However, im sov bias kona, but it's strange to think about, but. It's part of today's daf, which means it's part of the corpus of Torah. So if you think about it, it makes perfect sense. If the bia is only going to make him, her, his wife at the conclusion, not the beginning, at that point in time, her besula was broken. The rupturing of the besula takes place before the sof bia. And so now Rashi goes on to write, v'im sof bia kona, nimtzeis be'ula, mishas ha'ara, shelo l'shem kedushin, v'asira le'dichziv, besula me'amav yikach. The Torah is very clear. The Torah says that a Kohen Gadol must marry a besula, not a be'ula. Now I know it's really unusual, because why is she a be'ula? She's a be'ula because of him. It's not for any, and it's for marriage. It's not for any external reason. All that's true, but again, from a very technical and clinical standpoint, she is not a besula at the time when he's marrying her. If the marriage is to occur at the sof bia, not at the beginning of the bia. Okay, so my. So we have basically now spelled out two nafkaminas based on this question of when exactly is bia going to be kona? At the beginning of the bia or at the end of the bia? So, Amar Meimar, Mishmei de Rava, Kolabo, Da'atol, Gemar Bia. So the Gemara over here resoundingly says it comes at the Gemar Bia, meaning that the husband's intent is that that she's going to be his wife, not the Aschalas Bia, but rather at the Gemar Bia. Gemara's conclusion over here seems to be pretty clear, and Tosus is bothered by a very simple question. I said that today's daf is going to be very complimentary to the sixth parak of Yevamos. In fact, Tosus says, if you remember, it's the Tosus Divra Maskal Kol HaBawal. So Tosus says, if you remember, the Gemara and Yevamos, what did we learn there together? Tema. Tosus says, it's the third white line down in Tosus. Tema. De beperak HaBal Yevimto Yafinan Deisha Niklis HaBala Behara. Our conclusion over here in Kiddushin goes diametrically opposed to what we learned back in Yevamos. Back in Yevamos we said, at what point is the kinyan? Ha'ara. At the first penetration of the man with the woman. Now, exactly what ha'ara is subject to a debate, but in other words, let's just, for our purposes, it's a haschalas habiyah. So, what we learned over here in today's daf in Kiddushin goes against exactly what we learned back in Yevamos. And Tosa says, what's going on? So, the isha niknis labala bahara, asik kicha kicha da arayos, vahara haina tchilas bia, vahacha masik the sof bia kona. And over here, our Gemara is telling us that sof bia is being kona. So it's what's called a stira. And it's a pretty simple stira between the Gemara Yavamos and our Gemara over here. So
how does the Kohen Gadol then ever get up his sword?
Right, correct. Well, correct. That
obviously it cannot be.
But the answer would be very, your question's great, but the answer would be very simple. He'll be Kohen her with Shtar. He'll be Kohen with Kesef.
Okay.
But you're right. In other words, if you're only looking at the Gemara Yavamos, a Kohen Gadol cannot marry his wife through Bia. Okay, that's all. I mean, it's not a small thing, but okay. Now, Omer Rashba. So Tosfos over here provides a number of answers. Quickly, let's go through the answers of Tosfos. I mean, it's just such a blank stira. The Omer Rashba, dechi amin hara kona hainu bishlo asa ki im hara upirish miad the mochuk shalaya bedata liknos begemar bia avah hachim ayish gemar bia asal the azlo kani bahara kigon. I'm sorry, kevin shedato al gemar bia. So the first answer given in Tosfos is by the Rashba. I don't think the Rashba over here is what we normally refer to as the Rashba because he's a Sephardi. He was in Barcelona and Girona. I think the Rashba over here is one of the Balei Atoshas, better known as the Rashmi Shans. That's what I assume. Either way, so Tosfos over here provides in the first answer that the depends if the man only has a partial penetration with a woman and then that doesn't go further than that creates a kinyan. Our Gemara is talking about where the man had intention to have the Gemar Bia. Under those circumstances, then the marriage is only going to be concretized at the Sof Bia, not the Haschala. In fact, Halashon Mochiach, if you look at our Gemara, that's pretty much exactly what our Gemara is saying. Dekamar kol ha-boel, v'lo kamar kol ha-ma'ara. Meaning that our Gemara, the Lashon of our Gemara indicates that the man, when having relations with his newfound wife, is actually intent on having a Gemar Bia. Once he's intent on having a Gemar Bia, so then the marriage is not going to be concretized until the Gemar Bia. That is answer number one. Answer number two. V'arivam tirates ha-de-niknes. Be'ara haino b'mefarish shirot zeliknos ba'ara aval b'stam dato agamar bia. Similar answer by the Rivam, that if he expressly intends on being mekadesh or being having the kinyan done through ha'ara, through the first stage of bia, so then fine. But that's not the default. The default setting is that a man is only intent on being kone his wife through the gamar bia. Similar to the Rashba, Rabbi Natam tirates the achreishin is rab tahara kegmar bia im kein kol makom shemasker bia bahara kamar. So Rabbi Natam over here basically says we're going to have to redefine, meaning we thought going into our Gemara that the words in our Gemara of aschalas bia and sof bia is talking about partial penetration versus full penetration. So Rabbi Natam says we're just going to have to do away with that. With our preconceived notion of what Haschalas Bia is versus what's Gemar Bia. And Rabbeinu Tam says, look, we now know that Ha'ara is Bia. The partial penetration is Bia. That's what we learned back in Yavamos. Now that we know that, so now when our Gemara is asking the question of Haschala versus Gemar, our Gemara is only asking within Ha'ara. Tosu says, "V'hachi gamar tchilas ha'ara kona ubesof ha'ara kona olamanda amar ha'ara zu achnas esatara deshach betchila v'sof." So, okay, and Tosu says that Rabbeinu Tam says that's what our Gemara is entertaining when discussing the tchila versus the sof. It's within the parameter of ha'ara partial penetration. Rabbi Nunezim going tirates, and then we get to the last answer of Tosfos. Also interesting, he writes that he quotes Rabbi Nunezim. It's a historically going back even further. Da'ide v'amasari acher kiddushin. Da'ayide osahara having kinesua kemo chupa. Dela acher kiddushin. So he gives a very interesting answer. Our Gemara is discussing the first stage of marriage, erusin. In order to affect kinyan between a man and a woman by erusin, there you need Gemar Bia. The Gemara Yavamos was talking about they're already gone through the stage of Kiddushin. And there, they're only going from Kiddushin to Nisuin. There, you only need Ha'ara, you don't need a full Bia, a Gemar Bia. That's Rabbeinu Nisim's answer to explain the discrepancy between these two. Okay, so a number of interesting proposals within Tosfos in terms of how to be miyashiv our Gemara and the Gemara in Yevamos. Let's go back to our Gemara. Let's continue. Ibai luhu bianesuin osa or erisin osa. Okay, Gemara now entertains the following question, and today we'll end off with discussing this. We're not going to finish this discussion today, but the discussion goes like this. There are two stages of marriage our mantra since the beginning of the Masechta. It's really been our mantra since the beginning of Seder Nashim. There are two stages of marriage. The first stage is Erisin, and the second stage is Nisuin. How do you affect Erisin? That's what we're learning. Three different ways. Kesef Sharbia. How do you get from Erisin over to the stage of Nisuin? Chuppah. Whatever that may be. Okay, that's been our mantra. The Gemara now is entertaining the following possibility. If a man's Mekadosh a woman with Kesef, or with Shtar, that's stage one. And then you go to Chuppah, and that gets you to stage two. Maybe Bia is going to be a completion of marriage, both stage one and stage two. Which, just I guess from an intuitive standpoint, makes sense. Meaning because now this man and this woman are really defined themselves as husband and wife. They're intimate with one another. One can, just from an intuitive standpoint, understand that, right, correct, understand that Bia really gets you through both stages of marriage. This is now what the Gemara is entertaining. Nisuin osa o erisin osa, is it going to make a nisuin or is it going to make it erisin? Nafkamina li yorshola tamilola afirna dareha. So then the Gemara says, and the nafkaminas are very simple and very straightforward. If after Bia, is he going to inherit her? So, if it only gets to the first stage of marriage, the answer is no. If it gets to the second stage of marriage, the answer is going to be yes. Letamela, if he's a Kohen, can he be metame for her? Again, the answer is going to be, if it's stage one marriage, no. If it's stage two marriage, yes. How far is Nadarim? Same question, same answer. If it's, same issue. An Arus cannot be made for the Nadarim of his wife. The Nasu, he can. So, Iyamar Nisuin Osa, Yerusha Matamela Mefer Nadara. Viyamar Erisin Osa, Eino Mefer. Eino Yerusha, Eino Matamela, Eino Mefer Nadara. My. So the Gemara's question is, well, what's the status? Amar Abai Tashma. So the Gemara says, well, let's quote a Mishnah, and we've seen this Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Av Zaka Bibita Begidisha Bekesef Vashtar Vivia. The father's domain on his minor daughter is that he can mimikadosh her through Kesef, through Shtar, through Bia, meaning Kesef, he accepts money from somebody else. Shtar, he accepts a document from somebody else. Bia, meaning that he can identify a man and he can have this man have relations with his daughter in order to affect Kiddushin. Vizaka b'mitziyasav v'masiyadeha, the father gets the findings and the earnings of the daughter. Uva'afars nadareha, and the father can annul the vows of his daughter. Umekabos gita, and accept the get of the daughter. Ve'ino ochal peros b'chayeha, and can and does not eat peros. And doesn't eat the peros in her lifetime. Rashi over here points out that this is the peros in question over here is nechassan that fell from the. From the mother's side. So Ni says once she's married, yes or Allah Habal. So the husband now gets all of these rights plus Ocha Peres Bechaya also gets to eat the Paris as well. Okay, but anyway, all the things that were just listed in this Mishnah, Ketani, Bia, Vikitani Ni says. It says Bia and then it describes Nisuin. Certainly sounds like Bia is stage one, Nisuin stage two. And then this would be an answer to our question. So, ki ketani niseis ashara. The Gemara says, no, not necessarily. The niseis could be going on kesef. The niseis could be going on shtar. But maybe bia by itself creates a full marriage. Amarava tashma, let's do one more, and we'll conclude for today. A girl who is above 3 years of age is mekadeshes through bia. Again, in our modern thinking, it is most difficult to even think in these terms. But the Gemara tells us that once a girl has advanced beyond the age of 3, so she is now, the Bia that is had with her does qualify as a Bia. So therefore, Once she turns three, miskadeshes bebiya, she's subject to being miskadeshes through bia. V'imbaala yavam kana, and if the yavam has relations with her, he's kona. V'chayav and al mishameshesish, and she will be subject to adultery. Again, like we said earlier this morning, she herself is not subject to adultery; she's a minor. The man who has relations with her is going to be subject to adultery. Umetan tam is baala, if she's a nida, which again. Unlikely, unusual, but if she's a nida, so the man who has relations with her is subject to the tumas boal nida, latami mishkaf tachton kealion, vim nisis the kohen achas b'chuma, if she's married to a kohen, she can eat chuma, vim baala achem ikol araisha b'tora, mumsim al yada. And if anyone who is an erva to her has relations with her, so they're going to be subject to the death penalty as a result of her. Vihi b'tora, but she's going to be exempt because she's a minor, vim baala achem and apsulim, pasam and a kohuna. And if somebody who disqualifies her from the kohuna has relations with her, she will be disqualified from kahuna. Now, again, what did we just see? Ketani bia v'ketani nises. It says bia, followed then by nisuin. So you see that the bia is only step one, nisuin is step two. So the Gemara once again deflects this proof. The Gemara says, "Hachi kamar ihani nisuin de kohen ninu ochelas betruma." If the kohen marries her through the bia, so then she's entitled to eat truma. That's what the brisa means. So once again, we're entertaining the question in terms of whether or not bia gets you to just step one kiddushin, or does it get you all the way to nisuin as well? And we're going to continue entertaining this question tomorrow. Quick recap. What is the source that a man's mekadesh a woman through bia? Two paths to go down, Rav Yochanan and Rabbi. Each does not prefer the drasha of the other. Gemara went on to explain why. Question number one we dealt with today. Is it the Haskalas bia or the Gemar bia that creates kedushin? And the Gemar presented two nafkaminas. The Gemara's conclusion is it's the Gemar bia. What does the Gemara mean in that conclusion? So you have to look at this Gemara, you have to see the Gemara in Yevamos. They're sosa one another. How are you miyashi of the two Gemaras? So we went through Tosus today, who gave four different solutions in terms of how do you miyashi of the Gemara. And then the bia. Does it only get you to step one of the marriage of Erisin? Or does it get you to Erisin and Nisuin? The Gemara is in the middle of discussing that very question.